I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to music from Imago Theater show La Belle, Lost in the World of Automaton. We're going to talk about that show, La Belle, from co-founders and co-artistic directors and co-directors, co-creators, co-everything, Carol Trifle and Jerry Mawad. Plus, we'll hear from two of their actors in the show, and there are going to be some live singing, too. So stay tuned for a special stage and studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. Here in the KBOO studio are Jerry Mawad. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And Carol Trifle, welcome back.
Hi.
The founders of Imago Theater. It's great to have you here. And with them are from the production of La Belle, Lost in the World of Automaton, is Jim Vidala.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. First time we're here. Nice to meet you. And Justine Davis.
Hi.
Nice to meet you, too. Welcome both to stage and studio.
Thank you.
And, you know, I want to say thank you all because 2 weeks ago I was awfully sick. And thank you for making time to come back again and do that. But since I had you scheduled 2 weeks ago, it seems like your show has been getting so many rave reviews and such a huge, huge response. Everybody's talking about it. I saw some wonderful images from the show as well as on Oregon Artbeat. There were some, you know, a nice trailer with, you know, live action there. It just looks like a gorgeous show. So congratulations to you all.
Thank you so much.
So Carol and Jerry and Carol, La Belle, you know, it just seems like it's a pretty momentous production for you both. Do you want to elaborate on that? 3 years in the making.
Sure, but before we go on, it's not our last show.
It isn't?
No, you said it was our last show. We have two more shows in the building.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, tell us about those. I didn't realize that.
We're staging Medea on the no-exit stage, the tilting stage.
Oh, wonderful.
With a new version by Ben Power of the National Theatre of London. And Carol has a new show called The Reunion that's following.
So is this news? Because from my understanding, that this would be the last show from a few weeks ago.
No, we're just behind on marketing.
So you're breaking it here. let's call it breaking news then. That's great. I'm glad to hear that, actually.
You.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of the theatre community here in Portland.
What do you want to know about La Belle?
I want to know everything about La Belle.
Well, that would take five
First
hours.
First off, 3 years. Why did it take so long?
Well, we didn't intend for it to take so long. I found an old notebook that showed that we were thinking about doing it in December of 2012. By January of 2013, we decided to go forward with it. We put up on Craigslist that we were looking for a hip-hop artist to co-write it with us and a trip-hop artist to compose some music. We got a team of five people together, and then for about 6-7 months we started in on it, writing a script and composing songs. By August of 2014, we threw away the script because it was kind of enormous and felt like a giant Shakespeare production with 13 people, and we're like, all right, Carol and I were like, we don't know what to do with this. So on the way to Reno,
shaking her head right now.
On the way to Reno, Nevada to visit our daughter, we rewrote the script and thought, well, maybe it's told through another person. Maybe it's a guy that brings out these suitcases, and we're like, well, where is he? And we were always using a ship as kind of a motif, because in the original novel, there's a lot of imagery of water. He's a merchant that has Belle's foster father is a sea merchant. And so we're like, well, maybe he's in the engine room. We decided to put him in there, and it was like, well, how do we get her down there? We always knew it was like a story between two people that we were going to parallel Beauty and the Beast. And we're like, there's going to be a storm. And then so we get her down there, and then she discovers these fascinating objects, an automaton that Sam Stoker, one of the characters that's played by Jim, has built. And that's how it began. To make a long story short, this is a long story.
It's not that long of a story.
Okay.
But by December,
we're like, okay, we have the script. We started interviewing people in the community from Leica and different fabricators that knew how to make the things that we would design. It was supposed to open in the spring of 2015, and then it was postponed to December 2015, and then we're still making it in the fall of 2015. We're like, we're not even close. We're like, let's just postpone it another whole year. And so there it goes. I mean, Jim was cast in 2014, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's been going on so long that Justine's character was going to be played by Ann Source, but she decided to have a baby. So,
well, you can't blame her there. Wow, it's such a long process. And, you know, from my understanding, too, it costs a lot of money. That you had to do a lot of fundraising. Is that correct? About $250,000 almost?
Mm-hmm.
How did that go? How did you do that?
All our funders contributed to it. Every grant we put out was for LaBelle.
Yeah, and so you then, really concentrated.
Actually, the Meyer Memorial Trust was great because they funded it twice, two large grants. So much,
I guess, so there was so much promise in it, and that the support just came in.
Well, people were really inspired and connected to the concept of the automaton.
Well, I want to talk more about that. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, featuring Imago Theater's newest original show, LaBelle, Lost in the World of the Automaton. And the show runs through January 8th at Imago Theater, and that's located at 17 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. And you can find out more at imagotheater.com or Stage and Studio. .org or kbu.fm/stage-and-studio. And I'm talking with Jerry Mawat and Carol Triffel, and with them are actors Jim Vadala and Justine Davis, and they are the stars in LaBelle. So LaBelle, it's the story of Beauty and the Beast, basically, but told a different way. But you went to an original novel published in 1740. Carol, you want to tell us more about that novel?
Well, actually, we just used it as an inspiration, not really the story. So the story is pretty much told through real and fantasy. So we flip between that story and the real story of what's happening right now in present tense with Jim and Justine, who parallel their own story of Beauty and the Beast. They meet, they have to separate, they fall in love, they come back, and then it just keeps paralleling more and more and more, and then there's the Beauty and the Beast story with the backstory of the original story, which is told through a lot of the automaton puppets, and actually through narration, which they both do all through the story, and it's sort of filmic in that way. You know, when you have a voiceover in a film, and it kind of catches you up on all the details that you couldn't do with a camera. Mm-hmm. So in that way, it does tell the whole story, but in no way could you get everything in an hour and 20 minutes on, and plus a parallel love story. From a 100-and-some-page book.
Yeah, from hearing about the story and with all that you've got involved in it, I wouldn't think it's an hour and 20-minute show at all.
It's really... You know,
because there's so much depth to it.
It's really like an hour and 10, and the intermission makes it an hour, mm-hmm. 20, wow. hour 30.
Well, that's actually more attractive to me these days of 3.5-hour shows.
We can perform it without an intermission, but we're going on a national tour, and all our presenters, they want intermission sell their concessions and all.
And to take a little bit break for families, too.
That, too. I think, you know, for young kids, it's 45 minutes.
Nobody minds that at all. No. Well, let's talk to the actors in LaBelle. You know, it's interesting to me that your roles kind of mirror Beauty and the Beast, but it's not really. So, Justine, do you want to tell us about your character first?
Sure.
And you'll need to come a little bit closer.
So I play Lady Rose, who mirrors the part of Belle. And she is a passenger aboard the ship who gets blown onto the ship or down into the coal...
engine room.
Coal engine room area where she runs into Sam and becomes fascinated with all of the things that he has created down there, which keeps her there. And then she also begins to tell the story along with him. And so it becomes a collaboration. And she has a... big curiosity, and then I guess I don't know if I should tell the secret.
Oh no, don't give it away.
I won't tell the secret. No. You have to come see the show. Everyone comes see the show.
Well, Jim, you're in the engine room. What are you doing down there?
Yeah, I play Sam Stoker. He's the ship's
stoking.
He's a stoker. He stokes the engine, throws the coal in there, gets the steamship running. He's down there. He's a very lonely person. It's a lonely, dirty job, and he's down there, and he kind of like his imagination keeps him company, as well as all these creatures and puppets he's created, which is kind of what initially catches Lady Rose's
attention.
It's very
charming, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's a lonely guy, but he's a big imagination. And
yeah, there's a big heart under there.
And
yeah.
He also plays the ukulele,
he does.
I understand.
Yeah,
And you brought a ukulele.
I do have a ukulele here if we want to hear.
He just happens to have a ukulele. Do you think you might want to sing something?
Sure, yeah. We'll do the opening number. Okay. It's called Black Rock is the name of the song. So this is how Sam starts it. And since you're on the radio, you won't see my face. But it's very important right. When you come see it. Yeah. All right. Here we go. Black Rock is my whole life. Sam Stoker is my name. I'm filthy by first sunlight. My only friend's this flame. I wish I was a captain, 'cause stoking makes me sad. But stoker was the only job they had.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, totally.
He goes on and sings about passengers coming on board seeing Lady Rose. I have to say, though, like every moment of the show, as Carol and I wrote it for adults. We were like, we're going to write this for adults where the kids join into the fun. In other words, there's two ways, I think, to approach family theater is either you create a show for kids that the adults come to, or you create a show for adults that has a sophistication that entices them into the show, and then you then embed it with something that the kids can come along with. So in this particular production, I think it's sophisticated enough to play for only adults, which there have been only adult audiences. But every moment of the show, Carol and I were always thinking, okay, how is the 4 and 5 year old going to stay in tune with this? And it's all about the visual. So during Sam Stoker's Black Rock song, there are shadow puppets, and those as well as a giant wheel, as well as a flickering fire. So those are the visuals that are going on just in that part of the show. And I think a lot of the reviews pointed out that there is a visual effect that each one sometimes took us months to make that are really the real fantasy of the show and why it's playing to so many different ages.
Well, you've just laid out like a how-to template on how to create children's shows with plan A or plan B or option one or option two.
I think I didn't lay how to. I laid
how you did it, but still,
well,
your philosophy.
Well, I laid
can
out
be applied.
What you need to do. How to took 3 years.
Well, you know, I think that there's a lot of experience that goes behind what you just said. So, so people could learn from that. So, the music, I'm sure, helps with all ages. And I understand that you got two artists to do it, Amanda and Alyssa Payne. That had you worked with them before?
No,
and they were the ones that
we did a national search for trip hop artists, and we listened to quite a few. And it turned out that we're like, God, these guys are great. And then we actually looked at their address, and they were 3 blocks from Imago. They were actually living here on 8th Avenue. Yeah. We're like, we picked them out of all these people, and they were in town.
Well, that's kismet right there. That's fate. So, Justine, you have a song, too.
I do.
And you're going to be singing to the music that was recorded. And we're not sure if you know exactly which one that you're singing to, so we're going to listen to it first.
I have
right?
to say, though, that song that Jim right. just played is composed and by Carol, who did the lyrics, and Lydia Oog. We don't know how to pronounce her name. Oog, I think.
Well,
she's in
very
Los
sweet
Angeles.
Lyrics.
And the
very
one
sweet.
That Justine's going to sing is by Alyssa and Amanda Payne.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. So let's hear the CD and see what you come up with.
The autumn leaves paint the trees like flaming auburn hair. Into the wood so dark and deep, much braver men have feared. Do I carry on to find what waits, or turn back before the night? Though I'm certain I have lost my way, much to the wolves' delight. La 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 la.
And that was just beautiful, Justine.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much. That was Justine Davis.
Yes.
And before that, we heard from Jim Vandala. They were both singing from the production of La Belle, Lost in the World of Automaton at Imago Theater. And the show runs through January 8th at Imago. And you can find more info at imagotheater.com or stationstudio.org or kbu.fm/stationstudio. So you both interact with puppets and automatons. How is that to act with? Have you both done that before?
No.
No, this is the first time. Yeah.
Well, what's been for you, Jim, the experience?
It's been really great. It's it totally takes me back to that sort of childhood wonderment of playing with figurines and toys in my room and like creating these stories that I would play out with them, and it's kind of like the ultimate expression of that. And then dealing with the automaton, you know, it's like there's a level of rehearsal in a play where things have to be exact. There's a level of exactitude in La Belle that I've never had to replicate or manufacture before as a performer, which is a lovely challenge. At the same time, though, there are these parts of La Belle that are like loose and fun and silly. So like, it's really been like a full gamut of experience and ability being used on the production.
You really believe that they're real, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah. I would think so. How about for you, Justine?
It's been a really fun challenge. For me, I feel like I turn into a crazy person at certain times, though, because at one point I have two puppets in my hand, but I'm also playing myself, Rose, playing the two puppets. And so I feel like I have three people talking in my head.
So
you're actually
doing puppets.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I have one in my right hand and another in my left hand, but I'm also playing the character, playing the puppets. Playing both puppets. And so there's a moment where I'm like, okay, I just have to turn off my brain and let this happen. And then they kind of take on a life of their own, which is nice when that happens. So
I think what's so fun about the show is that you see these two characters, and they are doing the play for each other. And because of that, this is the kind of multi-layer stuff that Imago has been known for adult work, but we've really incorporated into this family work. And otherwise, in other words, the multi-layers are like one of the pitches of the marketing is that it's a story within a story within a ship. But there's also other multi-layers. You've got characters that are telling the story to each other, and then they sometimes embody the characters they're playing, and then you actually physically see that. So that sometimes Sam Stoker is playing the Beast, but he's also sometimes becomes the Beast, and he becomes the Beast in different ways as well. I have to also say, for the amount of work that went into preparing Jim and Justine was quite extensive. They started in January. We started doing what we called laboratories, where we were doing light rehearsals and videotaping them. They went through a clown intensive workshop where we invited other actors and did kind of a 2-weekend intensive thing to get them into more of a non-conventional performance realm that's in comedic physical comedy. They also, we taught them puppetry along the way, but they've become, you know, great puppeteers by this time.
There's a lot of training involved when you work with an Imago show, right?
There is. Yeah, this one more so probably than others, but they're bringing their own repertoire to it, but that we've also, you know, prepared them along the way. Jim took ballet classes for quite a while because we wanted to get him into a more highly physical
Had you done ballet work before?
I did, like, a little bit of ballet in college, never, like, I think I did, ultimately, I think I did, like, 8 months to a year on and off of ballet.
Wow. Yeah. That is a lot of commitment.
They both had very strong musical backgrounds into repertoire. But all I'm saying is, like, they, when you see the production, I think a lot of the impression or a lot of the enthusiasm is coming from how many different things are Jim and Justine doing. I mean, it's puppetry, it's physical comedy, it's mimetic, it's serious acting, it's... what are the other realms? I mean, they're playing like 5 or 6 different forms, and it's all intertwined together.
And this is tour. You can tour this.
Yeah, it's going on a national tour.
It sounds so complex, though.
It is
like a Broadway show, you know?
Well, Carol, I think that from the outside, it looks more complex than it is. Well, like, our background, you know, is from Lecoq, and there's very much economy involved in that. And so there is a lot of detail, but that detail has been honed down to the point where it's just simple. And even with their characters, they came with this great background of being able to act and sing, but then we added this naive clown state to it with that Lecoq is really famous for. And so, I mean, everything looks big, but when it comes apart, it's just a pile.
But a beautiful pile.
Yes.
We also shouldn't forget that the show is quite supported by Lance Woolen and Aaron, I hope I'm pronouncing her last name right.
Jamila.
Yeah, how did you work with, especially all the technical aspects of it?
Well, first with Aaron and Lance, there was a team of fabricators that included probably 10 to 15 people, but Lance was our director of fabrication, and Aaron was his assistant, and both of them led the fabrication of most of the show from Carol and I's design. And then as that they started with us 2 years ago, but then as part of the process, they really wanted to also perform. So they are hidden puppeteers in the show, so I don't want to give away too much, but we have tricked some adults into thinking some of these large automatons are real automaton, meaning they are machines that are working, but I'm not going to say that.
Which ones are real?
I'm not going to say, yes, which ones are real, which ones are
real. You'll just have to come and guess, right? Yeah. But there are 100, I understand.
Well, automatons, somebody asked, like, how many gears and moving parts there are. And so we're like, no one's taking an actual count. We just said, I don't know, 120, whatever.
That still sounds like a lot.
It is a lot. But like Carol said, I think it's about how we economize the show so it comes across as a moment-by-moment quaint experience.
Well, you want to create magic, don't you?
Yeah. Right? But also in the script, that's why we quit. The first script was because there was no economy in it, and it was every word said everything that there was no way to act it because you didn't need to. You could just read it. And this script is pared down. Words are taken out because the actors are doing what the words would have been saying.
Oh, and so you were explaining a little bit more? There was more exposition?
It was very exposition.
It read like a Shakespeare production.
I see. Okay. And this way it's just pared down so that you show more.
Mm-hmm.
Than you say.
Mm-hmm.
We kept economizing along the whole way.
Which makes it more universal, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, but you can ask how difficult that is to Justine and Jim.
How difficult is that? Thank you, Carol, for the question.
We probably have like 150 different versions running around in our head right now.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. if there is a working script of La Belle right now.
No, there isn't a working script right
really?
Now.
Really?
No. In fact...
Does it change every night, then?
Well,
or every day?
Monday changing. We added a song, and Justine's still trying to get it in.
Learning a new song right now, yeah.
Well, what was fascinating about the show, and a bit of luck, I'm going to knock on this piece of wood, but was that even after 2 years of writing, a large part of the second act, I would say like 40% of it, really was kind of conceptualized and put into the show 3 days before we opened. So I don't think if we had done that rewrite, it would have been as successful. We were, Carol and I were always feeling that there's something was missing, but we had some backstories that we flushed out that we were able to pull off. So we got lucky.
Essentially, people could come to one performance and then come again and see something different.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. No question asked about that. There's.
Oh, that's good marketing for you right there. Yeah. See it more than once.
Come back.
Yeah, there, I mean, there are like, there were some audiences, like with some school attendance during our previews that had seen bits and runs of the show and then would come to the after we had opened and see the actual run of the show, and it was like night and day.
Really?
Yeah, these kids, yeah.
Also, you know, a lot of Imago shows are, we create so that you go, well, no one's going to get this in the first viewing. You have to see it several times. And we didn't intend it for this one, but we've been having repeat audiences, mostly because they are getting a kind of an eyeful on the first viewing. Mm-hmm. And so they're coming back to see it again because now they know what's anticipating or what they're anticipating, but they now are able to kind of get a little bit more into the story.
Well, like any good film, right? Yeah. You can see it several times. So it sounds fascinating to me. Would you say this is, Carol, the most ambitious thing you've ever done for Imago?
Yes, it is the most ambitious thing.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's got a lot of stuff in it, but we created other shows along the way for 3 years.
I've seen some very ambitious shows at Imago. So,
The last 3 years we've been, yeah, each of us have done our own work. And so in between that, you know, at night we're doing one show, and day we're doing another show, and then it that part is complicated. And right now I'm doing that also for my next show. It's like, at night I'm writing for either La Belle song or a show.
So is that Madea?
No, I'm doing the reunion. Madea's already written.
Oh, okay. So. All right. And those, when are those happening? Can you give us a plug for those?
Madea is happening, I think it opens in April. It opens in April.
Yeah.
April, May, and Carol's show.
I need some updating on your website.
We do need updating.
You know, after working on La Belle for 3 years,
you're tired.
Just like, well, it opened. Now we can get on to something else. So.
But I'm sure you feel pretty satisfied that this 3 years has come to such a wonderful response.
Well, I have to also add that, you know, when mm-hmm. you're working on something this complex, you get completely jaded. So we're seeing these amazing effects go by like a month two ago.
Yeah. We've seen that before.
No,
yeah.
And we have no idea if they're going to have any impact or not.
Yeah. Okay.
We're just completely... I was completely doubting the production 100%. I was like, this is going to fail 100%.
I don't think that's been the response. Imago Theater's La Belle, Lost in the World of Automaton, created by Jerry Mawad and Carol Triffel, runs through January 8th. Imago Theater, not final show, because we just broke the news that there will be more shows at Imago Theater Space. For reservations, call 503-231-9581 or visit ticketswest.com. Find out more at imagotheater.com or stationstudio.org. KBOO.FM/stationstudio. Jerry Mawat, Carol Triffel, Jim Vadala, and Justine Davis. So good to have you here. And congrats on a successful show.
Thank you.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
So that's it for Station Studio. My thanks to KBOO engineer Judy Feistel. If you missed any of the show, visit stationstudio.org or kboo.fm/stationstudio. And you can also download shows at iTunes. And don't forget to like us on facebook.com/stage, the letter N studio, or tweet me at stage, the letter N studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.